Moncrief on News Talk.
See, there's a lot of things going on around the world, but many stories that we don't perhaps get the attention they deserve. That's Jonathan de Burka Butler's job, and he's here to do it once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
The UK we're going to go to first. Now, this is a story about banning football fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of context here. So it was November 2025. Aston Villa, who are a Premier League club, as you know, doing quite well at the minute, based in Birmingham. They were playing against Maccabi Tel Aviv. Now, up until recently, many Irish listeners mightn't have known who they were, but they were actually managed by Robbie Keane for the guts of a year between 24 and 25, quite controversially. We don't have time to go into that now. But they were playing against each other in Birmingham, right? And the West Midlands Police launched an investigation into the behaviour of the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, right? And they concluded at the end of that investigation that it would be better to ban them from coming over to watch the game, right? So you're allowed to have whatever, 2,000, 3,000 away fans in to watch the game or whatever, but the Chief Constable Craig Guildford, along with his advisors, decided, no, we don't want them here. Mm. Now, that was based on a couple of things, right? The main thing being that in November of 2024, when they were playing a game in Amsterdam against Ajax, which I think was in the Champions League, the place was torn asunder.
Yes.
Okay, so
yeah.
Maccabi Tel Aviv fans were, well, they goaded protesters, people who were protesting against the war in Gaza and so on, and the two of them met and the place was ripped up. But to cut a long story short, even though the mayor of Amsterdam apologised to the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans for what had happened, the police concluded that the biggest risk of violence came from extremist fans of the Israeli club. I'm quoting there, by the way, before anybody starts having a go at me about saying that, right? That's what they said. And based on that, as I said, that's what the police in Birmingham decided. We're not having them here. Now, this caused two sides to come down. Okay, one side on this on West Midlands Police saying, good idea, okay, violent fans, and also people who weren't happy about the war in Gaza. But then on the other side, a lot of politicians, including Labour politicians, decided that this was a sign of anti-Semitism. And this particular policeman, or Chief Constable Craig Guildford, has come under increasing pressure ever since that decision was taken. And he has now decided that he is going to resign and has done so. That's taken effect. So he's now the former Chief Constable of the West Midlands Police. So there you are.
Yeah, a curious decision given that, you know, yes, there were fans of Maccabi fans were involved in trouble, but it was in another place rather than there's a kind of a repeated pattern of this kind of thing.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I think even last October, before they'd gone to Amsterdam, there was a riot actually in Tel Aviv. There was a derby match against, I think it's Hopel or something like that, they're called Hopel Tel Aviv. There was a derby match, there was a riot at that, and I think the game had to be called off as a result. So I think there's a bit of a history there.
Right.
So, you know, I think it might have been based on that as well. But certainly the major part of it was that they had taken their advice from the Dutch police, don't let them in, and they said, okay.
Yeah. Right. Iceland we're going to go to next. What with all the focus on Greenland, Iceland are feeling perhaps, even if it's in a jokey context, they're feeling some imperial ambitions there too.
Yeah, they are, yeah. And it came on the very day that top officials from Greenland and Denmark went to the US to meet up with their representatives there to discuss, you know, or be shouted at, you know, what was going to happen with Greenland. But this relates to Iceland. News broke in Iceland. It was broken by the website Politico that a former Republican, the House of Representative from Missouri, a man called Billy Long, had said on the floor of the House of Representatives that Iceland will be the 52nd state and he will be governor. Now, just to put that into context again, Billy Long was Trump's nominee to become ambassador for Iceland. Mm. So he was having a bit of a joke with the lads. The name Jeff Landry, does that ring a bell with you? He's Trump's representative in Greenland.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, right. And they were having a bit of a laugh about Jeff Landry being the new governor of Greenland. And I think this guy, Billy Long, jumped in and said, well, I'm going to be the governor of Iceland. And they all went, ha, ha, ha. It got out. got into Iceland, and obviously Icelanders weren't particularly happy about that. So they put a petition together, or a petition was put together very quickly. Thousands of people signed it, basically asking Iceland's foreign minister, Katrín Gunnarsdóttir, to reject the nomination of Billy Long. But it seems to have sort of been handled fairly quickly, in that Billy Long did an interview with an organisation called Arctic Today, which covers news in that part of the world. No prizes for guessing that. He apologised straight away. He said it was a joke, and that he looked forward to working with people in Iceland.
Yeah.
Although he might get a bit of a frosty reception.
Yeah. Oh, boom, boom. I apologise. It was taken that way.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's not quite an apology, no. Is it? No, that's a kind of a bishop's apology. I apologize if your feelings were hurt. Right, the kind of an eerie story. Ecuador, we're going to go to next, where five severed heads were found on a beach.
Years ago, when we spoke about Ecuador, we generally talk about politics and what was going on there. But in the last 3 or 4 years, these kind of stories have been coming up more and more. And it's because Ecuador is caught between Peru and Colombia, who are the two biggest exporters of cocaine in the world, okay, to the United States and obviously to Europe as well. And Ecuador has become a transit hub, basically, okay, and all along the coast there, these ports that used to be sort of sleepy fishing villages are being taken over by gangs. And this is one of them, a place called Puerto López. It's in a province called Manabí, where an awful lot of this terror has been going on for the last number of years. And on Sunday morning, a couple of people went down to take their whatever stroll on the beach or walk their dog, and they came across five severed heads on the beach. Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, these belonged to five men who had been reported missing a couple of days earlier. They were aged between 20 and 34. One of them had a criminal record for gun possession, and it's thought that they might have been involved in gangs, right? In this particular town at the moment, there is a turf war going on between gangs who are representatives, okay, or proxies, basically, of gangs from Colombia and Mexico.
Okay.
And that's why it's got so much more violent in the last few years. There's always been gangs, but they were never armed up to the gills as they are now. But what's interesting about this is that it appears to have been done by a group of vigilantes representing local fishermen, right? There was a note that was left there, a sign threatening those stealing from and extorting fishermen with the same fate. Now, you could say, well, it could have been another gang putting up that sign and whatever. But at this stage, the line of inquiry from police seems to be that fishermen are getting sick of having to pay protection money, having their boats, I was going to say burnt to the ground, but, you know, burnt out and you know, having their boats used for transportation of these drugs and therefore being implicated in the crimes, and they're taking action. And this is the message that they're sending.
Yeah, which if true would imply that the police have somewhat lost control of this situation or can't do much about it.
There's a state of emergency there's 24 provinces in Ecuador, and there's a state of emergency in 9 of them, all of them along the coast or near the coast. There was an attempted assassination against the president, if you remember, in October of last year, I think it was. So the country has really gone out of control. I mean, the numbers of murders, they were about 8,700 murders last year, I think it was, and that was the top, in 2024, and that was the top figure ever. And it went up to 9,176 last year. These are unprecedented figures for Ecuador. Nothing like this has ever happened in this country before, in this context. So it's crazy what's going on there.
Yeah, right. China, we're going to go to next, which is getting smaller, or at least slightly less populous.
Yeah, slightly less populous. Yeah, that's the news that was released just yesterday, actually, that China's birth rate has sunk to a record low. The birth rate, that is, has been the lowest ever since the Communist Party took over. Right now, just to throw a few figures at you, right? So registered births dropped to a mere 7.92 million, okay, in 2025. I know that's more than the population of this island put together. But that was down 17% from 9.5 million in 2024. The population dropped by nearly 3.5 million, so it's still around about 1.4 billion. Deaths rose from rose to 11.31 million from 10.93 million. This is a problem. All you have to do is look at China, okay? You know, and all the problems that they have with paying for people who are retiring, and the fact that they have, what is it in, did I say China or Japan?
All you have to do is look at Japan.
Yeah. And the fact that they, you know, the prison population there, the majority of the prison population is over 60, okay, in Japan. So this is what they're up against in China. And over 60s now in China account for about 23% of the total population. And the way things are going, it looks as if the UN are predicting that China's population will have halved by the time we get to 2100, whatever that's going to be called.
Wow, halved. That's extraordinary. And they are they below the replacement rate then?
Below it. They've got one of the lowest birth rates in the world, apparently. One child per woman, right? The replacement rate, as you know, is 2.1. So they're way down, right? And you have to remember, this was policy for a very long time. So 2016 is when they changed that. They said, okay, instead of having one, you can have two. That didn't work. Then in 2020, or that hasn't worked. Then in 2021, they did the same again. They said, okay, well, you can have three. But there's been such a culture of having small families there that they're just not shifting. And now they're bringing in really drastic measures, like they've increased VAT by 13% on contraceptives to try and discourage people from buying them. So it's basically go and have kids, whatever you do, because we need people to keep the economy going.
There may well be other economic reasons why people aren't having larger families, I would think, or kids at all.
It is. I mean, apparently it's one of the most expensive places, relatively speaking, to raise kids, which I found really surprising. But there was a report done by a Yuhua Population Research Institute in Beijing, and they said China is really expensive to have children in. So there you go.
Right, Sweden we're going to go to finally, where they've banned certain songs from the charts.
Yeah, it's one in particular. Now, this is a song called I Know, there's a comma there, You're Not Mine.
Okay.
In Swedish, it's Jag Vet Dur Är Inte Min. And it's by an artist, inverted commas, called Jakob. Now, I have, on my Instagram page, I have put a picture of Jakob. It's a kind of a sketch because he's not real. And I've also, in my stories, at De Burke Butler on Instagram, you can have a listen to the song, right? I'd sort of classify, do you remember The Bridge, that brilliant TV series, Swedish TV series, Danish TV series?
Yeah.
So it's a mix of kind of the theme music from The Bridge and First Aid Kit. Okay. So that kind of thing, right? So it's quite nice, I'm sort of ashamed to say, because it is made of... It's been made by AI.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the reason this has come to people's attention is because it is the most popular song in Sweden so far this year, right? When I saw this story middle of last week, it had amassed over 5 million plays on Spotify. I just checked it there now, 6.5 million plays on Spotify.
I'm about to get more now that you're publicizing absolutely, in this country.
Oh, thousands more, without a shadow of a doubt. That's great and everything, but not everybody in Sweden is happy, right? So obviously you've got the national charts there, and the people who look after that are saying, okay, we're delighted for you that it's doing well on Spotify, but we're not going to include it in our charts. Because, I mean, it should be number one at this rate.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because they basically won't allow a song that is mainly AI generated to be top of the list or on the list.
Yeah. Are there people or an organization who made this happen? You said AI write a song for us there, please.
Yes, so because it was getting so much traction, journalists started looking into it, and they couldn't see any tour dates. They saw that there was a sketch of a guy on the Spotify page, but there was no biography or Instagram page about this person. So they tracked the track down to a place called Stellar Music in Denmark, right? And apparently two of the producers work in Stellar's AI department, okay?
Okay.
And one particular journalist dug a little bit deeper, emailed them, and they replied, right? And some of their quotes are worth having a look at, if you don't mind. And we'll have a look. And they said in reply, "We are not an anonymous tech company that just pressed a button. The team behind Jakob consists of experienced music creators, songwriters, and producers who have invested a lot of time, care, emotions, crucially, Sean, and financial resources into this. They said that AI is an assisting instrument within a human-controlled creative process."
Okay, but does the song have actual credits as to who wrote the song?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it does.
There you go. There. So all the assisting was, you know, you could say assisted by AI, but written by Tommy and Barbara kind of thing.
I mean, it was all done by AI. Because there's some headlines that are saying it was partly done, but the voice and parts of the music were done by AI. So all created by that.
Right. My word.
Frightening stuff.
It is frightening stuff. And this isn't going to stop. Maybe not in the official charts in Sweden. Which, and I suppose official charts maybe in countries are becoming less important anyway.
Yeah.
But Spotify ain't going to ban it.
No, they're not. Although there is an argument that it could end up taking away revenue from other artists. But I suppose Spotify won't care.
Spotify pay a lot anyway. No one's relying on Spotify to pay their rent.
No.
Well, maybe Taylor Swift is. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, so coming up, obviously, Wednesday tomorrow, Trump is at Davos. And let's just also strap
in
for that.
Just keep on coming, yeah.
Yeah. Thursday, the Oscar nominations are out. So probably expect a lot of Irish nominations there. And then on Thursday, same day, a verdict will be announced for the man who accused and has admitted to assassinating Shinzo Abe, the former Prime Minister of Japan.
Yeah. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks, as ever,
Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.